The 380 tons of explosives that have gone missing in Iraq have become an issue this week in the presidential campaign. For thoughts on that story and more, we turn to our regular political analysts here in the studio, E.J. Dionne of The Washington Post. Welcome back.
Thank you.
And David Brooks of The New York Times on the phone today from Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Hi, David.
Hi, how are you?
Let's start with this question of the missing explosives first reported by The New York Times and 60 Minutes. John Kerry has seized on this, has used it in a campaign ad talking about George Bush failing to secure the explosives, what he calls the president's misjudgments, putting our soldiers at risk. And now George Bush today for the first time talking about what he calls wild charges, saying his opponent jumps to conclusions without knowing the facts. David Brooks, let's start with you. How big an issue do you think this is?
Well, it depends on when the explosives were missing. If they were missing before the U.S. troops got there, or even just after, I'm not sure it'll become a big issue. If they're missing later, then I suppose it becomes sort of a symbol of sort of the mismanagement of the post-war period. I have to say, I think it's a story that's months or years old, and it's a little peculiar why it's come up at this crucial moment in the election. But that clearly is the vulnerability. When I've been in Texas, I'm now in Iowa. And it's clear, even among the Bush supporters, the Iraq War is not a popular thing, and mostly because of the mismanagement.
E.J. Dionne, it could take a while before the chronology on this becomes clear. What do you make of this story, and what kind of impact it might have?
Well, I think you can tell that the Bush administration and Bush supporters really wish this story hadn't broken right before the election. I was struck. I was going up to Reading, Pennsylvania, where John Edwards was speaking yesterday, and I had Rush Limbaugh on the radio. And Rush was spending about a half an hour knocking down this story. Now, Rush Limbaugh and the Bush campaign would much rather be on the offense than playing defense. And the fact that President Bush had to take time out to challenge Kerry for using a New York Times story and saying somehow that was irresponsible suggests that they really don't want this kind of news to come out before the election, because precisely as David says, whether people were for or against the war, there is a general sense that the war has been mismanaged, and depending on how all the details of the story work out, this sure looks like a rather large problem created by that mismanagement.
One other news story that's broken since we spoke a week ago is that Chief Justice William Rehnquist has thyroid cancer, bringing to the forefront the notion that the next president will be, clearly, it seems, appointing at least one justice to the Supreme Court. David, thoughts on that story?
Well, I guess what I'd have to say is it's kind of paradoxical. I would say that a lot of people, sort of moderate conservatives who are with the president on social issues, doubting him because they see him as a big spender and because they oppose the war in Iraq, have been a little brought back by the Rehnquist story. A lot of them do care about the Supreme Court. They didn't like the president because they don't think he's a conservative. But the Rehnquist illness has reminded them that the Supreme Court is important to them. Just in conversations out here, I've detected a little rallying of social issues. And I must say, in the last few days, when you only read the local papers here in Iowa, the social issues just are a much bigger deal than they are in the national press.
E.J. Dionne, would you figure that it might affect the Democratic electorate in the same way?
Well, I think both sides exaggerate how much Supreme Court appointments affect voters. I think there are certain voters, as David said, social conservatives and certain kind of liberals, where it might have an effect is among highly educated voters, especially men. There is a trend right now away from Bush among highly educated white men, which is a group Bush had done well in. I think if the court plays as an issue among moderate to liberal voters in that group, it could have the tiniest of effects.
There are so many unknowns, it seems, in this election. New voter registration, all these potential election challenges that we're talking about. It does seem like it would be a particularly bad time to be a pundit or prognosticator trying to anticipate what's going to happen. David Brooks?
I guess it's always a bad time to be a pundit. But this is particularly bad because it's literally unknowable how the election is going to turn out. There are so many variables. It's so close that there are all these theories around that are just strike me as terribly pat and unconvincing. I just go back to the fundamentals. The fundamentals are, first, the president fought a war. There are no WMDs. It's not going very well. Somehow the odds have to be against him. The second fundamental I draw, and this is just from traveling around the country, is how regional this country is and how regional the electorate is. We've got one guy from New England with a solid base of support on the coast, one guy from the Southwest with a solid base of support in the South and Southwest, and then this strange region, the upper Midwest. Come to think, this is the Big Ten election. If you could win those Big Ten areas of Ohio, Iowa, Wisconsin, Michigan, you're probably going to win this election. And this is a region we really haven't been paying as much attention to because it's not been a growing region. It's sort of not been a cutting-edge region. But it's the, you know, the heartland of the country, and it's a region that is split between these two guys from both from regions that people here are sort of uncomfortable with.
And includes a number of states that have been solidly Democratic for at least the last four elections. E.J. Dionne, that seems to be shifting.
Right, although many of those states weren't that solid. I mean, both Wisconsin and Iowa went to Gore by a whisker. So did Minnesota. These mm-hmm. states have been changing. I have a sense, and David reflected this in what he said, that there seems to be, on this particular, as of this day, a very, very slight breeze it carries back. And the reason I think that is twofold. Most Republicans I talked to are a little more anxious than the Democrats. But secondly, there are some states now coming onto the list of contested states, Arkansas, perhaps Virginia and West Virginia, which means that Bush territory seems to be opening up. Now there are some counter trends. Hawaii, of all places, seems to be close. Imagine waiting on election night for the results in Hawaii several hours later. Michigan seems to be tightening up. But I think on balance, if the map is opening at all, it's opening just a little bit to Kerry.
You know, I there are a couple conflicting trends here. One, I generally do not believe that ads make much of a difference, and I really think people have wasted $1 billion. I don't think candidate visits to a state make much of a difference. There's really no evidence historically. Nonetheless, there is evidence that in the last 3 days of an election, you can get a story that moves things. 4 years ago, it was the drunk driving arrest of George Bush that moved things. Maybe it'll be these missing munitions. Maybe it'll be something you'll be reporting tomorrow. So there is evidence that things can really move suddenly and quite starkly, you know, 3, 4, 5 points within a weekend. And so that's still out there to be played. So we could be at the beginning of a Kerry breeze. I'm not sure I quite see it right now.
David Brooks, E.J. Dionne, thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Columnist David Brooks of The New York Times and E.J. Dionne of The Washington Post.